Well, I have a word this morning that is very challenging, encouraging, I believe, but also very prophetic. And I'm going to introduce the message. Some of you were not here, but on our New Year's service in the year 2020, I was preaching on David as he was about to fight Goliath on the plains of Elah, and there, as he stepped into those plains to fight this monster, that was the beginning of a new day for David. A major transition took place, a major shifting took place, and I spoke about that, and I felt that the Lord was about to shake us and stir us, and a shifting was about to come to the land. I didn't know exactly what it was, but of course, 2 months later, it did. A major shifting took place. It's called COVID. And I wasn't sure again what was happening. And as I was preparing for this message this morning, after so many months being away, I found myself back in the book of 1 Samuel. And I was not on the 17th chapter. I was in the 18th chapter. And there I saw something. And I believe it's prophetic. And I see another shifting taking place. Another shaking taking place, another transition taking place through the life of David. I believe that the Lord has a word for us, and so I pray that your hearts would be open to this word today. My text is found in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 to 5. Now, George, what I want to do is I want to take us back to chapter 17, and we'll begin at verse number 55. Chapter 17, verse 55, and I begin here. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistines, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, "Abner, whose son is this youth?" And Abner said, "As thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell you." And the king said, "Inquire, whose son this stripling, this young maverick, this no name, who this is?" And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, thou young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." Now to our text, in chapter 18. And Saul said to him, "Whose son?" Chapter 18, verse 1. And it came to pass, so there's some time that passed after that, when he made an end of speaking unto Saul, here comes one of our heroes. Jonathan, the son of Saul, was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. And then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself. Notice the word stripped. He stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David. And his garments, even his sword and his bow, and to his girdle. And David went out whithsoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servant. Wow. Something prophetic is happening in the life of David once again. I've entitled this message, "The Time Has Come." Now, what we notice, brothers and sisters, in our text is that David is at a threshold. He doesn't know it. Just like he didn't know when he faced Goliath that that was the beginning of something that will never be the same again in his life. He's at another threshold. You know, in our Christian lives, we will go through different types of thresholds. Churches go through different types of thresholds. David is facing another threshold. He has killed the giant. He's killed the bear. He's killed the lion. His fame has spread. People are asking, who is this young lad? There's something about him. Scholars tell us now that he's not 16 anymore. Scholars tell us that he's about 22 years of age. So he's grown up. He's grown up from the bear and the lion. He's experienced a lot of things. And I say that because it was the slaying of Goliath that propelled them to meet King Saul. It was the slaying of Goliath that brought him to the palace. But he's not 16 anymore. And I say that to say this. God didn't allow the giant to come into David's life when he was a little kid. Oh, he allowed the lion and the bear, but not Goliath. Oh God, thank you for allowing the giants to come into my life as I grew up. Thank you, Lord, for not exposing me to a giant level of troubles when I have just a few years of experience, a 14-year experience. Thank you, Lord, for preparing me for Goliath. Thank you, Lord, that I didn't face Goliath. I wouldn't have been able to handle Goliath. But thank you that you prepared me for such a time as this. Yes. To bring me to the next level. I'm grateful. And so as we come to this text, it is that ability to fight that has captured the attention of the king. God was preparing David for this moment. This transitional moment didn't just come overnight. You don't just come overnight into an important period in your life. God prepares you, and he'll bring a lion in your life. He'll bring a bear in your life. He'll even cause or allow family issues to take place in your life to prepare you to face the king. David is facing the king. But God has promoted him. Notice verse number 5. It says, he was successful wherever Saul sent him. God promoted him. God has given him favor. Who is David? They asked, who is this man? He is now in the king's palace, and David doesn't realize that a major transition is about to take place in his life. How did David get there? Was it his strength that defeated Goliath? Was it his incredible ability that gave him the power to do what he did? No, friends, it was strictly and solely the favor of God. And it was this ability to fight against this monster that brings David before the king and gets the king's attention. Nobody else was able to do it. Nobody was able to face Goliath but David alone. And the king says, this boy is different. There's something about David that's different. It's not that he's so tall or like me. Saul was taller than any other man. It wasn't his physical appearance. He may have been a good-looking lad. We don't know, but that's not the issue. What was it about David that King Saul says is so special? Well, let me ask you another question. What was it that made Daniel so special? What was it that made Joseph so special? Their looks, their height, their IQ? It was the anointing of God. The favor of God. This favor can't be earned or bought. And as David is in the palace, he's about to cross into something powerful. He's about to cross into greatness. Oh, my friends, I believe there is somebody out there somebody in here that's on the verge of change, that's on a threshold. They're about to cross over into something powerful. You may not see it yet, but you're on the verge. You're on the cusp of greatness, the cusp of transformation. There's a transition about to take place. You don't see it, but it's just before you. We're on a threshold, Logos. Change is about to take place. Yes, this is like a passageway, if you will. That's right. A place of transition, a crossing over, a place where you are leaving something behind. You're about to step into a level you have never stepped into before. Oh, my friends, listen, Logos, I believe we're about to step into a level that we have not been before. You may not see it. You may not understand it. You're looking at it through the natural eye. You're looking at it through the mask, but you don't see something beyond. You don't see what God is doing because you're too governed by what the media is saying. We're too governed by what the world is saying. We don't understand it yet, but I believe we're on the cusp of something. David is standing on the threshold. But let me say, friends, that David is not standing by himself. That's right. He's standing by himself physically alone, but he's not alone. Oh, he can't see her, but Naomi is standing beside him as well. Oh, David can't see her, but Ruth is standing beside him as well. David can't see him, but Obed is standing beside him as well. Yes, everyone that came before David. Watch this, friends. Look, all those people who made a difference in your life, all those people that influenced you, that encouraged you, they are standing beside you. And the reason why I bring up Naomi, the reason why I bring up Ruth, the reason why I bring up Obed is because they're not from the same tribe that King Saul is. You might say, well, no. David is not from the tribe of Benjamin. He's from the tribe of Judah. Now, if I have any Bible scholars in this house, you'll know that the kings came from the tribe of Benjamin, not from the tribe of Judah. David is from the tribe of Benjamin. Obed, from the tribe of Benjamin. That means he wasn't even in line to be the next king. He wasn't qualified to be the next king. He wasn't supposed to be the next king. His pedigree tells us David cannot be the king. Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin, and the next king would come from the tribe of Benjamin, and the next king would come from the loins of King Saul, not David. He doesn't qualify. But aren't you glad that God doesn't call the qualified, but that he qualifies the called? Aren't you glad that sometimes God will break protocol? Aren't you glad that sometimes God will break what you might think is normal? David doesn't qualify. You see, it didn't make sense, but David is used to being not qualified. David is used to being rejected. He's used to not being next in line. Can I bring you back to 1 Samuel 16 when God told Samuel the priest to anoint the next king and go to Jesse's house? And there was his father who didn't even recognize his son. He was not even part of the lineup. He had his seven sons lined up. He was in the field scraping up the manure of the sheep. He wasn't even in line. David was not in line to be the next king. But he's used to rejection. The point is, the next king was supposed to come from Benjamin. Jonathan was supposed to be the next king. Mephibosheth, his grandson, could have been the next king. Somebody from Saul's line, but not a shepherd boy, not David. No. He's not supposed to be the next king. And so here comes this outsider from the other side of the tracks, who doesn't have the right protocols, who doesn't have the right pedigree, who does not qualify. Here he comes. David had no idea what was about to happen. No idea, but a transition is about to take place. Just like he had no idea in 1 Samuel 17 when he faced Goliath, a transition is about to take place. Because David, when you slew Goliath, what you did, and because of what you did, your life will never be the same again. In chapter 18, as he walks towards the palace and he meets Jonathan and he meets the king, David did not know as he steps into the palace that this day you will never be the same again. Never. He's been rejected by his father. He's been rejected by his brothers. He's been rejected. We don't even know where his mother is. Have you ever noticed we don't hear much about David's mother? What? His mother, most scholars believe, was a pagan woman. David lived in an atmosphere of rejection and abuse, dysfunction. Aren't you glad that God calls the dysfunctional and makes them functional? But here he is on the threshold of greatness. Now what's interesting is David never pushed himself there. There are a lot of people that want to get there in the flesh. You notice that? Oh, yeah. They'll fight, they'll kick, they'll scratch, they'll manipulate, they'll push, they'll try to maneuver their way to get to a certain place. But you know, God doesn't operate that way. If you're like that, you won't end up there. God promotes the humble and the broken spirit. And David didn't push, didn't ask for anything. God simply promoted him. There's a life lesson there. There really is. You try to promote yourself, my friends, in God's eyes. When you begin to humble yourself and wait on God and trust in God, even if they're better qualified. Look, even if you are more qualified than them, it doesn't matter. God will just, and you're not getting anywhere, you trust. Don't defend yourself and scratch and kick the door. Don't try to push that door open. God will make it happen. God will open the door. And so David is facing Saul, King Saul. He's in the palace. Everything now is about to change. And my friends, I believe that everything's about to change in the life of the church as well. As I'm speaking about David, I see David as a picture of the church. Something's about to change. Something's about to happen. But David didn't know it. It was an ordinary day. It was just a regular day. When COVID hit us, it was just a regular day. We had no idea. Is something happening today? We came back from Montreal and found out that the playoffs and the basketball game were canceled. What happened? Oh, there's some kind of pandemic, some virus. We don't know what if some coronavirus, canova. What's it called? They didn't know what was going on. Karatha Corolla was from Toyota. It just hit us. We had no idea what was happening. Just an ordinary day. An average day. But you see, those are the days that God works best. The God of the suddenlies always shows up in just an ordinary day. And this is David. On this ordinary day, he gets promoted before the king. And on this ordinary day, something extraordinary is about to take place in his life. Yes, David is about to cross over. And if David doesn't cross over, now watch this. We just had the communion service, and Oh my goodness, I see so many nuggets, I see so many life lessons, I don't even know where to begin. But as David is about to cross over, Jesus, listen, if David didn't cross over, Jesus can't come. Because Jesus is from the tribe of Judah, from David's lineage. That's why they called him the Son of David. Jesus was known as the Son of David. That's why blind Bartimaeus had a greater presence of mind and more of an understanding in the spirit realm than the Pharisees and Sadducees of his day when he declared and cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." This was a messianic term, the Son of David. And so when David crosses over, Jesus is crossing over as well. He is stepping into the lineage to take over as king of Israel. And you can be sure that the devil will try to stop you as you're crossing over. You can be sure the enemy wants you to stay put. You can be sure the devil wants you to stand still. And in fact, he wants you to go back. He doesn't want you to go forward. He wants you to go back. And he wants you to remember how it was in the old days. And he wants to keep you back just before the border of Kadesh Barnea. He doesn't want you to cross over into the promised land. He doesn't want you to do that. He'll try to stop you so you won't cross over. He'll try to stagnate you so you won't cross over. He'll try to cause some division so you won't cross over. He'll try to cause some gossip so you won't cross over, something to halt your process. That's why Paul said to the church of Thessaloniki, he said, "I wanted to come and visit you, but Satan hindered us. I couldn't cross over the bridge. I couldn't get for a small period of time, but God sustained me. But the enemy tried to hinder me." That's why the enemy tried to stop David through Saul. Yet a Saul who honored him in the beginning wanted to kill him, who threw javelin after javelin to God. The enemy wanted to stop David from getting to the throne. He wanted to stop the Hebrew people multiplying. And that's why Pharaoh ordered an edict to kill the male boys 2 years and under. And that's why Herod wanted to kill the male boys 2 years under, so that Jesus wouldn't do what he was called to do. The enemy will try to stop you from crossing over. You know, friends, when you come into an unprecedented struggle, a huge fight, a Goliath type of battle, it's because there's something more at stake than you. It's not about you. I know sometimes we think it is, but let me tell you some, friends, it's not about you. There's something happening that is so important. We have a battle that we are experiencing. It's not flesh and blood. I know we attack the person. We think it's the person. And we go ahead and we try to focus in on the person. But it's not a, there's a battle in the spirit realm. Principalities are trying to stop, trying to hinder. And they'll do whatever he can to stop and to impede your progress. That's why we fight against a lion that's roaring. He's roaring to drown you, to devour you. You see, the enemy's not only trying to stop you, but he's also trying to stop everything that is coming up after you. That's right, after you, your children, your family, circumstances that will rise up to stop you from getting to where God wants you to be. It's not just about people, God, the enemy using people, but he'll use circumstances and events to stop you from getting to where you need to be, because the enemy's in the spirit realm and he is aware of some things, and he wants to stop you from getting to your place of destiny. So I'm going to try to kill David, and I'll use Saul, and I could kill him with these javelins, or I'll try to kill him with the Philistines. I'll do whatever I can to stop David from crossing over, and he'll stop you from crossing over. He'll stop the church. But as I said on Thursday, aren't you glad what Jesus said? But the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Now I know that We all won't be kings. I know all of us will not be promoted to be a physical king. I understand that. But all of us, in some shape or form, are called to do something for Christ. We are all his voice. We are all his arms and his feet. And that's enough. You qualify. That's why you're under attack. That's why the enemy wants to stop you. If you're a true believer, you've got purpose in your life and you've got destiny. And the enemy will try to stop you from crossing over to the next level. Whatever it is. All the decisions and choices you make are very important. They have a lot to do with how your story ends, and the enemy will try to stop that chapter so you won't get to the next one. You see, God will promote you even if you are not from the right tribe. David was not from the right tribe, but David was being led by the Spirit, and David was following the leading of God. He wasn't qualified, but he was following what needed to take place, all because of God's favor. God will promote you. Just as he promoted Joseph, a Hebrew, to be second in command in the land of Egypt, which was a powerhouse during that time in our world. That's how Daniel became second in command, another Hebrew, in Babylon, the powerhouse in the land of that time. Yes, even if you're not from the same family, background, God can do something through you. And I'll tell you, friends, no army, no king can ever stop the right man at the right time to enter into his destiny. For no weapon that's formed against you will prosper against you in what God has destined for you. There's not one. The enemy will try. It doesn't mean that there won't be weapons. It doesn't mean there won't be trials. It doesn't mean there won't be attacks. There certainly will, but they will not prosper. God will stop the javelin from hitting you. God will deflect the darts from coming against you. That's what it means by no weapon that's formed against you. Oh, friends, I've got to ask somebody this morning. I believe for some of you, this is your time. That's why I've entitled this message, The Time Has Come. That God will bring you to bring Logos, to bring the church into another level. We need a crossing over. Why do you think we've gone through the things that we've... Why were we on the plains of Elah? Why did we face Goliath? Why are we still facing in some ways? There's a reason for it. There's a purpose for it. And I know it's difficult. I know for some of you, you've gone through a lot of pain, a lot of trials, and a lot of anguish. But here I am. I stand before the Lord. Here I am. God has sustained me. And I echo the words of Samuel in 1 Samuel 7 when he said, "The Lord is my Ebenezer." What does Ebenezer mean? The Lord thus far has been my strength. The Lord thus far has been with me. The Lord is our Ebenezer Logos. Thus far, he's been with us. It doesn't mean we didn't go through pain. We went through a lot of it. But he has sustained us. And will continue to sustain us. My Ebenezer, there is nothing as powerful. No, friends, nothing. Not a curse. Not a witch. Not a warlock. Not a demon. Not a pandemic, not a disease. Nothing can stop what God has in store for his people. Let me tell you something, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, or mind can even comprehend what the things that the Lord has in store. Oh my God, because his hand is not shortened. Isaiah 59:1. His hand is not shortened. God's hand will be extended. I give God the praise, and David's about to see it. And so David is standing right at the threshold, a brand new beginning, something powerful, something powerful. But my friends, I know he doesn't see it yet. Something powerful. He doesn't comprehend it yet. He thinks he's just going to have a cup of coffee with the king. I don't know. Maybe a bit of donut. donuts or a few cookies. I don't know, but he doesn't see it yet. He is at the threshold, but he doesn't see it yet. Many of us are on the threshold, but we don't see it yet. We don't see it. But this is for somebody. Somebody. Look, I don't know who it is, but something deep is inside of you. Something deep inside of you is telling you there's something about to happen. You don't fully grasp it yet, but something deep inside of you is stirring. Something powerful is about to happen. You can't figure it out yet. Your mind can't comprehend it yet. Your spirit doesn't see it, but your mind can't figure it out. But something deep inside of you is telling you something powerful, something I'm about to cross over. It reminds me of last week's message. Many of you heard it when Peter was in jail, about to be executed the next day, and all of a sudden this angel comes in and brings him out. But the Bible says in verse 9, but Peter wist not that it was of God, wist not that it was an angel. He didn't understand what God was doing, and finally when he got to the third gate, he realized it. There are times God does something we wist not. We don't understand it. Is there a reason for why we have gone through? I tell you, friends, there is. And something powerful is about to happen. We're about to cross over into another level, another place. Yes, yes. And so when David stepped through that door, look what happens. Verse number 1, he steps through the door. The Bible says, Saul didn't let him go back home again. Saul shut the door. The Bible says from that day forward, Saul kept David from him, from his family, from going home, from returning back to what he's used to, from returning back to what he's used to. Stay with me. Returning back to what was normal. We hear a lot about that word today, normal. Saul shut the door to what was normal. You're not going home, David. This is the point of no return, David. A door has shut. Oh, I see something powerful here. Friends, I gotta say it. Listen. A door has been shut in our nation. A door has been shut in our city. A door! Been shut in the world. God's about to open a new one. There'll be no more business as usual, my friend. There won't be. There just won't be. Something has shifted. There's the word again. When David stepped on the plains of Elah to face Goliath, I use that word. Something shifted. When David stepped through the threshold of the palace into Saul's, something shifted. Something changed. A door was shut to the old, and a new door has opened to the new. Something has changed. And everyone is trying to adjust. Oh, we're all trying to adjust. We're trying to get back. Can I say it again? To normal. Oh, let's get back to normal. Oh, if we're just back to normal. Back to normal. I just don't know if normal will ever be normal again. But God has just shut the door, I believe, on normal. You know what, friends? Is it possible that we might be too normal? Is it possible that the church, for so many generations, just has been just too normal? Aren't you tired of normal? I'm done with normal. Maybe God has shut the door to get us out of normal. David, your life will never be normal again. Door is shut. Oh, we'll get back to running. I know that. We're getting back to running right now. I understand that. We'll get back to running. but it will never be what it was. I'm not saying we won't be filled at one point. I'm not saying that. But it will never be as it was. Because a door has just shut. A door. In this world and in your life, in my life. We can fight it. We can kick it. We can try to scratch, crawl. But I cannot go back to something. Something has shifted. Because this is a season that God has shut. This is not the devil. This is God. God has shut the door. I know we like to blame the devil for everything, but let me remind you of what it says in 2 Chronicles 7:13. When I sent pestilence upon the earth, when I shut the heavens, when I sent serpents and scorpions, but there's a reason that the door has shut. And if you can have eyes to see, and ears to hear. I can't go back. This routine is over. I know you're uncomfortable, but God, I shut the door. I don't understand it fully, but God has shut the door. I don't understand why this and how my family that. But God, He shut the door. He shut the door. He said, there's a new day. God doesn't shut the door for no reason. If He shuts the door, then He's going to open the floor. Something's going to happen. God's going to open. It doesn't shut unless He opens something new. Something new. Something new. Has the time come, Lord, for something new? Has the time come, Lord? And so God is saying, I'm shutting the door to what you used to be. Yeah. So you can hear David. Tell the sheep I'm not coming back. Tell those ugly goats. Oh, they bothered me. I'm not coming back. Tell Daddy. I'm not coming back. Tell my mother, wherever she is. I'm not coming back. Tell my brothers who hurt me. I'm not coming back. God has shut the door. And so there's no need for you to cry, my friend. God doesn't shut the door for the sake of it. There's a reason. Don't need to cry. Don't need to worry. There's another door about to open. Why? Because God is in control. And we have a tendency of forgetting. Many of us have got so caught up in this vortex called COVID that we forget who's in control. We think the masks are in control or the vaccinations are in control. We think the doctors are in control. Oh, I'm not putting doctors down or masks down. I wear masks. You wear masks. But they're not in control. I don't have more faith in my mask than I do in my God. I don't have more faith in the vaccine than I do my God. Doesn't mean I won't get sick or I won't get hurt. It just means I know who I place my confidence in. And if He shut this door, I know another one's going to open. Another one. Yes, you have now stepped into a new door, a threshold, a zone, an arena, a new era. We are in a new era. And if you want to get a little religious, a new dispensation has come upon us. And what's happening, my friends, is an opportunity is now before us. Oh, if we can only change our perspective. A new opportunity has now come before us. If you can't change the problem, you must change your perspective. I gotta say it again. If you can't change your problem, you've got to change your perspective. What is God doing in the midst of this? What is God saying? A door has shut. Is it possible that something new in front of me is a new opportunity that I didn't see because I was living in the past? But now that something has changed, I'm on this threshold. Is it possible a new opportunity has come before us? My God. David! You don't see it, but something new is coming before you. Something powerful, something so vast, something so amazing. Do you see it? Do you see it? But you see, it's all because of God's grace. God's grace is about to fall on David in such an incredible way. And David has to say goodbye to how he understood himself. The Lord is saying to you, my friends, the very same thing. I got to ask you, somebody on Facebook, somebody on YouTube, maybe somebody here at Logos, are you willing to say goodbye to how you used to understand yourself, how you understand the world? Because David never truly understood himself to be a king. No, he didn't. And now he's in a palace. He's not dressed right. He still stinks of sheep. He doesn't talk right. He doesn't know proper protocols. He doesn't know which fork to pick up, which spoon to take. He doesn't know whether I pick up the napkin with my left hand. Oh, he doesn't have proper protocols. He's never been in a palace. But there he stands, the shepherd, before the king, and the door is shut. And it is here, at this moment, this very moment, at this right time, the right man for such a time as this. Isaiah 60:22, at the right time, I will hasten it to happen. At the right time, I will hasten it. The time has come. Here is David. And he meets Jonathan, one of my heroes, Jonathan. Jonathan, the son of the king, destined to be the king after his father. Here is where David, the shepherd boy, comes face to face with the prince. A crucial, powerful moment in David's life, as it was when he faced Goliath a few years earlier. Yes, here is the prince, all dressed up in his royal garb, standing before David. Here's the heir to the throne, the one who is in line, the future king, the one who is wearing the princely garbs, tailored, watch this now, tailored, manufactured for Jonathan. That was for you, Jonathan. The Bible says, and as he looks at David immediately in the spirit realm, this is a spiritual thing, something begins to happen in Jonathan's heart. A certain love, a godly love begins to flow in his heart for this man he's never met before. That's what favor is. Favor comes into your life in people, with people, in situations that you've never met before. Things that don't make sense. Things that seem crooked and all of a sudden they're straightened out. Jonathan has this deep love, which is a picture of God's love. And by the way, David is called David because the name means my beloved. And Jonathan loves this man and is a picture of the Father's love. As he sees David, this love overwhelms Jonathan. And he begins to do something a little strange. Nobody told him to do it. Nobody asked him to do it. He begins to take off his robe, dismantles himself. Oh, wait a minute, Jonathan. Someone could have said, what are you doing? This robe defines you. This robe was tailored for you, Jonathan. This robe identifies you as king. What are you doing taking it off and giving it to somebody you don't know, especially a shepherd boy? What are you doing? But he heard the voice of God. And sometimes when you hear the voice of God, it will sound so ridiculous, and someone might say, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? You see, friends, this was the moment of transition in David's life. Something was happening here, and God uses the physical to promote the spiritual. The physical is a picture of the prophetic. What happened physically, what Jonathan was doing, was illustrating spiritually what was going to happen in David's life. He takes off his robe. Jonathan is humbling himself. The Bible says they made a covenant from that day on. Oh, I see some. This is for free. I'll throw this in for free. It's not part of my message, but I'll throw it in for free. Jonathan is stripping his clothes. The Bible says they made a covenant. Jonathan is humbling himself. He's being transparent. You can't have a covenant. You can't have a relationship unless you're transparent with each other. You can't have a good relationship unless there's honesty with each other, transparency. They enter into a covenant. Then he takes off his belt that holds everything up. He gives him his bow. He gives him his sword. He's given him everything. Everything! And here it is. A transaction is about to take place. And what's amazing, oh! This wasn't originally part of my sermon either. What's amazing, it fits. In chapter 17, we found out when David was about to fight Goliath, King Saul gave him his armor, and it was a little bit too big. Rick, you got your jacket on? It was too big. It didn't fit. Because it wasn't meant to be worn for David. But now, this fits. What does that mean? David, you are the next king. It fits. God's made it originally for Jonathan, but it fits you, David. I see so many nuggets. This sermon is just, I see something. Kind of reminds me of Deuteronomy chapter 6. What took place in Deuteronomy chapter 6? Do you remember when God brought Israel to the promised land? Said, don't worry about everything. I'm going to take care of you. Yeah. You're going to come across houses that you haven't built. They're made for you. You're going to come across vineyards you didn't grow. They're for you. The food, they're for you. Everything. You didn't build it, but I gave it to you. You didn't go. But David. All this is for you. You didn't earn it. You didn't manufacture it, but my grace. Oh, I see. I'm seeing so much. It is by grace that we are. By grace that we have his gifts. By grace we have everything that we have is because of his grace. A moment of transaction. A moment of transition. The prince has become the peasant, if you will, and the peasant now has become the prince. What is this, friends? It's so powerful. It's a rite of passage, and it is the greatest prophetic message that I see. How do I see it? As we just served communion, as Jesus was on the cross stripped of his clothing, stripped of his human dignity. The Bible tells us in Corinthians that Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God, that he paid a debt he didn't owe. Jesus stripped himself so that we can become what it says in Revelation 1:6. George, show me what it says. He has called us to be what? Priests and kings. The King of Kings stripped himself so that we can be his priests and his kings. My God. You think about that. And so in a sense, Jonathan becomes a type of Christ. That's what communion is all about. His body, his blood, dying, sacrificing, a type of the cross, because Jesus stripped himself naked for you and me. That's why we must never forget what Jesus did for us. You see, in the Bible, when the priest would take off his garb, he would give it to his successor. That's what Eleazar did with Aaron when he gave it to his sons. The priest would strip his clothes and the next priest would take it and put it on. A transition is taking place. A transaction is taking place. It means you're next. It means you're next. It means you're next. It means you're next. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. But I don't have the clothes, Lord. I know you don't have the proper protocol. I know you don't know how to deal with it. I understand all that. But God has exposed you. Yes, he's exposed you to it so that you might become it. Yes, to become what is in front of you and not what is behind you, because a new day has come. A new day has come. Stop living in the past. Stop wishing it was like the past. Stop the past. It's a new day in front of you. What is in front of you? You got to shut the door. What is in front of you? What is God saying now? Stop trying to go back. What is God saying now in front of you so you can become what is in front of you? David, so you can become the king. So pick up the tunic, David. Pick up the shoes, David. Pick up the sword, David, because you're it. You're the next king. You're the one. I know you don't qualify, but I've given you the grace and the mercy. That's why God shut the door. If we can only stop being influenced, what's behind us? Listen, you can't hang around with them anymore, my friend. You can't run with them anymore. What you thought, it's over. It's different. And as David has come through that rite of passage, something incredible takes place. You see, friends, this is the most prophetic moment in all of David's life. Even more than the anointing that Samuel had on him in 1 Samuel 16. From this day on, David is going to lead armies. History tells us that when David was king of Israel, it was the greatest time in all of Hebrew history. David, a little shepherd boy, picks up a tunic and a belt, follows the leading of God, not knowing what was happening from one day to the next, becomes the greatest king in all of history. And he didn't know it, because he went through that door. And he didn't go back. From that point on, history would change. But here it is, friends. So many left, but I gotta close. But let me share a few more thoughts. What I see here, you can't make yourself king. You can't make yourself to be what you want to be. You can't promote yourself in being a king. Someone has to put you there. Someone has to put you there. Remember how Jonathan saw David and that love began to surface and begins to strip. Something happened in Jonathan and his love propelled him. It is God's love that propels us. God's love. God has put David there through Jonathan, and God will put you where you need to be. You cannot crown yourself. Someone else has to crown you. Someone who loves you enough to crown you. You can't earn it. You can kill giants, but you can't earn this robe. You can't earn this sword. It's by God's grace. It's always by God's grace. It's always by His mercy. So when He shuts the door, it's by His grace. And when He opens the door, it's by His grace. Oh, if we can only see it. David allowed bitterness, the bitterness of being rejected by his father. If David allowed bitterness, the bitterness of his brothers abusing, if David allowed bitterness to control him, he would have never walked through that door. No. And I don't know who I'm speaking to, but you're getting ready to walk into a grace thing, a new thing. God is about to do something. It's not going to be because of your degree or your pedigree. It's not going to be because you're rich or you got a rich neighbor or a rich cousin or a rich father. It's not going to be because you're so smart and you got a great IQ. It's not because you're a great CEO, a great manager, a great architect. It's not nothing to do with that. It's going to be because of His grace. His grace. That's right. God is going to take us further and deeper into new heights. Yeah, like an eagle, we're going to spread our wings and we're going to soar high above the clouds, high above the pandemics, high above all these things that have bound you. Yeah. You're walking through this door, a new door, like David, whatever he did. Why? Because God's hand was upon him. That's what caused him to defeat the Philistines. Why? Because God's hand was upon him. That's why he was able to throw that stone right at that place in between his forehead. There was no other place on the giant where there was an opening but right there, and that's where the stone landed. Is it because David had a great aim? Is it? Nah. God took that stone and right there directed it between his head, his eyes. It's not by might, but by power. Going to be because of His grace. But you've got to walk through that door. Stop complaining and murmuring. Walk through that door. Let go of the doorknob, please. Don't walk the door like this. It doesn't work that way. Get low. Walk through. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. By His hand that defeated his enemies. And that's why David said, it is by my God that He gave me feet to run through a troop. It's by my God that He gave me feet to run through a wall. You can't do that naturally. You can't. Oh, my friends, it's always God's favor. It's always God's grace, whether it looks bad or whether it looks good. Jeremiah 42:6, we will believe and trust in God whether it looks good or whether it looks ugly or whether it looks bad. I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. Logos, by His grace, we are going through this to the next level. I speak to everybody on Facebook, everybody on YouTube. It's by His grace that you're going to get through it. Don't try to go back. That door's been shut. Go forward. A transition has come. So pick up your tunic. Pick up your belt. Your shoes. The sword. And let's walk through it. Forward. I press on towards the prize of the prize of the mark of the high calling. I'm pressing on to that prize. I can't look back, Paul said. I can't look back. I got to forget those things that are behind me. I can't allow my father's rejection to bother me anymore. I can't allow my brother's ridicule to mock. I can't. I got to go forward. I can't allow the javelins that Saul has thrown to keep. I got to go going forward. I got to walk through that. I can't allow what has happened to this world keep me bound in this box. A new door has opened. and I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. And I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. The cross before me, the pandemics behind. The cross before me, the world's confusion behind me. The cross before me, doubt and disbelief behind me. Let's all stand together, please. I'm going to ask Josh to play a chorus, and then I'm going to pray with all of us this morning.
It's a new season, it's a new day, a fresh anointing is coming my way. It's a season of power and prosperity. It's a new season.
hasn't abandoned us. He shuts the door for something that is in front of you, something new that you wouldn't have tackled if God didn't shut the door. You wouldn't have touched it. Father, I pray this morning for all those that have heard this word. Lord, you have shut the door on many things. But Lord, you haven't left us as orphans, abandoned in the desert. There's a reason. Help us, Father, to, by faith, go through this next chapter, believing that something powerful, something new, something that you have ordained that brings life. Help us to walk through that door, Father, trusting you, despite what the voices of this world are, despite what people might be saying. We want to hear your voice. Lead us and direct us, oh God. Even for this church, Lord, that Logos continue to rise. We will see the things we've been praying for years. A new door of renewal and revival. What is in front of us? Something fresh, something powerful. Father, cause it to happen. It's always by your grace. Cause it, Lord. And some of you are going through a new door personally. Something different, something strange, something you're not used to. It's a new door. Don't be fearful. Don't be fearful because it's strange to you. Just hold his hand and God will lead you. God will guide you. That's a word for somebody. God's going to guide you. It's new. It's different. You haven't even imagined it before. But God's going to bring you through it because he led you to it. My God. And so, Father, we commit everyone to you this morning. Prepare our hearts for this change. Prepare our hearts for what is ahead, as you did with David. We love you and we thank you and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Can we give him praise this morning for his goodness?